you. This week on Spartan Up, we talk with Wino Rollet about food and obstacles, and it's brought to you by FreshBooks, small business accounting software designed for you.
We are here in Pittsfield. It is still raining, for those of you wondering if you should get a flight or drive up.
You should.
Get here before it stops, because the mountains are incredible with those clouds. They're gorgeous.
I'm here with Colonel Nye, Dr. Johnny, and Safra Lavouf.
Lavalou.
We'll get that right by the end of this season.
It doesn't matter.
We have some Boku superfoods here, and we're going to be talking to Wino Rollet. Well, is that the proper pronunciation? Rino. Yeah, what is a superfood?
Oh,
Safra?
I would love. You know what? It's kind of like asking what's an invasive species or a native species, because obviously,
it's almost identical.
Any of the indigenous foods that you can forage or wildcraft or harvest, right? They have just a huge power pack of nutrients in them. The wild edibles are going to be a lot more nutritious than anything that you're cultivating, because you're only putting NPK, nitrogen, potassium, and phosphorus.
I don't interrupt you.
Oh, I could keep going on this for a while. I'm like in my own world.
Let's have Reno tell us what a superfood is.
Oh, let's have Reno tell us what a superfood is. We already introduced ourselves. All right, let's go.
So we are here at Spartan Up the Podcast, behind the scenes at Spartan Race Malibu 2014 with Reno from Boku Superfoods. And what's interesting about Boku Superfoods is I started on them, about 8-10 months ago? Maybe more.
Yeah, I think it was more than that, yeah.
Right? And I was always 5'10 most of my life. I am now, how tall are you?
6'3.
I am now 6'3.
So it works. It
really works. So the whole show is about what makes you successful. Food is clearly a component, right? You've got to eat right, you've got to exercise. Let's talk about Boku. What's the story there?
You know, Boku's a company that really began back in 95 when our son, Reno Jr., was diagnosed with attention deficit disorder. And the doctors wanted to prescribe Ritalin and put him on a prescription drug, and we just weren't into that at all. So we consulted with a naturopathic medical doctor who recommended superfoods. This was 95. I had no idea what a superfood was. But we began the process of exploring, found this superfood product, started our son on it, we started taking it, saw immediate benefit.
That was what year?
1995.
And in 95, you were 65 years old.
Yeah,
look at you. Look how good you look now. Right?
Thank you, yeah. Once again, it works. No, but you know, it was it really did ignite a passion within us and began us on this journey to learn more. Because it was, you know, the first time we had really considered looking at nutrition as a way to approach a challenge like, you know, focus or attention deficit. And we started seeing benefits like energy and skin clearing up, and we never got sick. And so we stayed on this superfood product.
Unlike our producer here, you know, who's sick right now.
I should say, we got to get you on
some superfood.
But no, it really did open up a whole world to us. And we started to explore more. Fast forward to 2005, I had a little success in the book publishing world. And Lynn and I decided, hey, let's pursue this dream of ours. Let's create the greatest superfood ever. And so we worked for about 2 years, I mean, tirelessly grinding away, creating the brand, creating the formulation.
Literally grinding, too.
I mean, really, yeah, right? Grinding, you know, raw fruits and vegetables ingredients and testing them.
Who was it? Was it Aristotle? Who was it that said, make food your medicine, medicine your food?
Hippocrates, the father of medicine, exactly. Let food be thy medicine. And you know, it couldn't be more true. Beyond performance, you know, the health-forming benefits of superfoods, and we see it all the time. I mean, if we share the stories that we hear every day from our customers all over the world, you know, we'd probably get thrown in jail because we can't make those kinds of claims. But it's the kind of thing, when you hear it, it gets you out of bed in the morning, it keeps you fired up, and it you know, sort of confirms that you're on the right path and doing the right thing.
So we hear that a lot as we do these podcasts, right? You've got to find your passion. Clearly, you found your passion. But you got to do something good. It's not about the money. It's about doing something good. The money comes.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, I'm so glad you said that, because I've been an entrepreneur all my life, right? I was very fortunate. I was nominated Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year, Lynn and I both, in 2014. So I've been at it, you know, kind of like you. I mean, we have a similar background. Our first date, my wife and I were selling fireworks out of the trunk of our car.
Right.
I sold Christmas trees for 9 years. Right. You know, I know we have some of these things in common. And, you know, when we started Boku, it was completely different, because when we created our mission statement, it was all about positively impacting people. It had nothing to do with money. We knew we had to make the best product in the world. We had to create the best, the highest possible customer experience. And I believe that's what really sort of underscores our success. It's really what validates us. It's the fact that we don't have money out front, and the success has come as a result of that. I really
believe
that.
You're authentic. Yeah, right? You guys are authentic, and you're doing it for the right reason. Let's take a break. We'll go have some superfood, and we'll come back.
Nice. All right, good. Perfect.
I hope you're not sitting still while you listen. If you are, you better get a burpee break in.
Hey, everybody. It's Colonel Nye here, and I want to take a quick moment to talk to you about FreshBooks. FreshBooks is small business accounting software that I use in my own small business. It's easy and intuitive to use, so even an old colonel like me can find my way around it pretty easily. FreshBooks does the math for me. All I have to do is enter in the numbers, and it tabulates it automatically. And it lets me know when my bill has been received and when it's been paid. FreshBooks is offering a month of unrestricted use to all of our listeners, totally free right now, and you don't need a credit card for that trial. To claim your free month, go to FreshBooks.com/Spartan and enter Spartan in the How Did You Hear About Us section. And most of all, FreshBooks allows me to get out of the office, get off the couch, and get out there and exercise. And it can do the same for you.
We're back. We just had some superfood, so if I'm a little jumpy, you know why.
Always a little jumpy.
I'm always a little jumpy. What made you successful? What are the two, three lessons that we could get from your life?
You know, Joe, for me, honestly, it's an ongoing process. I've been grinding away all my life, and you know, similar to Spartan races, I've encountered countless obstacles. And to me, a big part of it is understanding the process and accepting that obstacles are a part of life. You know, I don't have the benefit of a great education. I did a semester in college. I grew up, my father was a janitor at a janitorial maintenance company. I worked from the time I was 5 years old, five kids, you know, we never took vacations, things like that. So. But I always wanted, I always had that hunger and that drive to succeed. And
where did that come from?
You know, probably the fact that I had nothing growing up and I wanted everything. Yeah. And, you know, again, I always looked at these challenges as opportunities to grow. And not at first. I mean, like everyone, you know, you get knocked down and, you know, you kind of toy with the idea of staying there for maybe a second.
Sure.
And then, you know, you figure out pretty quickly that you can do pretty much anything, that these things are there for a reason and you can overcome. I mean, I'll tell you a quick story that was sort of transformative for me. It was one of my first trips to Jamaica, 1986, and we were in Port Antonio, Jamaica, which is on the east coast of the island, and it was an area sort of discovered by Errol Flynn, you know, back in like the 40s, you know, when he was a swashbuckling Hollywood movie star. And so it's kind of, you know, undiscovered still. It's a really quiet corner. But one of the things that he did was create this rafting ride down the Rio Grande as like a tourist attraction. He'd go up there and ride the banana rafts down the river, and later it became really popular. So we were there. You have to, you know, ride in a van all the way up into the mountains, and you jump on this raft and you cruise down. The idea is you get down to the bottom of the ocean, you get back in a car, and we were going to drive. We had a beautiful villa, and we were going to head back to the villa and have dinner and have drinks and relax. We had a beautiful villa right on the water. And we made it like 100 yards out onto the road, and there was the most massive traffic jam for as far as you could see. And this is Jamaica. The roads are like skinny, right? For as far as you could see, cars are stopped in both directions. And I'm like, man, what's going on here? So we park the car, we pull over. There's just all these cars stopped dead, thousands of people standing around, you know, everybody frustrated, wondering what's going on because everyone has some place to go. So we decide we're going to walk and find out what the cause of the traffic jam is. And we walk for a little ways, and it's funny, I spot this blue Volvo in the road. And at this time in Jamaica, there were Ladas. First of all, there weren't, you know, any of these Japanese cars, or, you know, there was Russian Ladas and Ford Escorts and Cortinas, right? Well, I see a blue Volvo, which was very unusual. And someone had mentioned to me Errol Flynn's wife, Patrice Wymore Flynn, drove a Volvo. I don't know where I heard this, but I thought, wow, I wonder if that could be Patrice Wymore Flynn, Errol Flynn's wife, right? And I see she's got like, I see white hair, so I know it's a white woman. So I approach the car, and I just lean in, and I said, pardon me, are you Patrice Wymore Flynn? And the woman turns at me, and I knew instantly it was her. I mean, she's probably at this point 75 years old, but beautiful, like these beautiful blue eyes and just striking, right?
Clearly on superfoods.
Clearly on superfoods. So she looks at me and she says, in that old like Hollywood dialect, why yes, I am, like this, right? And I was like starstruck, and I'm like, wow, you know, I heard all about you. I heard about Errol Flynn, and I knew, you know, you guys came out here and had Navy Island and all this. And so anyway, we start making small talk, and I invite her. I said, look, we're just gonna walk and see if we can find the cause of this traffic jam. Would you like to join us? So she says, yeah, I'd love to, right? So she gets out of the car. We're walking down the side of the road. It starts to rain. We grab these big leaves from the bushes and we're covering over our heads. You know, it's one of those moments where you want to pinch yourself, right? Like, yeah. Is this really happening? So we're chatting. She's telling us these old stories of Hollywood and all the celebrities and the Queen of England that came to visit and, you know, all these, the aristocracy in Jamaica back then. And finally we get to the cause of the traffic jam. And it's a giant, I mean, a huge truck, one of those British Leyland military personnel carriers, right? You know, with the big canvas over the back and the tires are like this big. And it had collided with a car and turned and went completely perpendicular and blocked the road 100%. You couldn't get by with a bicycle. And at this point, it had to be 1,000 Jamaicans buzzing like hornets, right? They're just like pissed off and what are we gonna do? And I'm thinking, we're completely screwed. I mean, you know, if there's a wrecker big enough to move this truck, it's in Kingston, which is 3.5 hours in that direction, or Montego Bay, 3.5. I'm like, we're here for days. I mean, and I'm not gonna get my lobster dinner. I'm like, what are we gonna do? So it was an obstacle, right? And so right away I start thinking, how can we overcome this? What can we possibly do to move this goddamn truck out of the way and free up the road? So I look at my buddy who's with me, Bob Dunlop, and I say, he's an engineer, right? Like a construction guy. And I said, Bob, if we got enough people around this truck, could we move it? And he thinks for a second and he goes, no way, impossible. I said, impossible? I go, why? How's it impossible? He goes, because you'll never organize these people. And I said, okay. So without even thinking, I jumped up on the back of the truck and I summoned my best patois. And I'm like, you know, hear me now. We can move the truck. And these black dudes, you know, Jamaican guys are looking at me like, fuck man, I'm crazy man. You can't move the truck, man. Right? And I'm going, no, listen man, we can move the truck. And I'm trying, and I got one guy. And I made eye contact when they say, you know, win one guy, you'll win the crowd. I got one guy and I locked down on him and I'm explaining, look, if we all get shoulder to shoulder, we're strong enough, we can move the truck. And he looks, he says, I'm right, man. I'm right, we can't move, come on, man. And so I jumped back down and all these people come along and it's one at a time. And we grab a piece of the truck bed.
How many guys?
It was probably 20 or 30 guys, right? Around the back. There was nobody in the truck. It was an empty, you know, steak body.
Right.
So I thought, you know, it's not that heavy for a bunch of guys. So maybe it was 40 people. I don't know. But we went elbow to elbow, shoulder to shoulder around the whole bed of the truck. And we start rhythmically bouncing. And you know what? I knew instantly, we've got this motherfucker. Like, we'll move. You could feel it going. Right. Can I say that?
Yeah.
So I'm like, we can move this thing, right? So we start bouncing. And we're like, one, two. And it moved. And then you should, the feeling, Joe, honestly, when the people got that first taste that the truck was gonna move, all these other people run up and start trying to sneak in. And we pick this thing up and boom, 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 and we bounce the truck right out of the road. And I will never forget, as long as I live, that sense of triumph,
sure.
that sense of accomplishment. And it wasn't just me, it was everyone. And the entire crowd ignited, you know, with this sense of, oh my God, we've overcome. And we moved that truck and we freed up the traffic. And had we not done that, really, it would have been days, right? But that's just one of these examples of experiences in my life where
put your mind to it, it gets done.
Exactly. When you look for ways to overcome and you don't quit, and you know, you have this mindset, this sense of knowingness that we can do it. And you know, those are the kinds of experiences, I'm sure you've had them, where
life changing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, the great story. I love that story. The bad news is what we're going to do today is about 9 of those trucks.
Right.
So that's all right. They ain't moving.
That's all right, man. Well, they'll move. We'll go around them.
Spartan Race. Let's go get it done.
Absolutely.
That was great.
Great to talk to you, Joe. Thanks, man.
I'm super excited about superfoods. Been holding this from you guys, but my kids have been drinking green juice superfood from Boku for 3 years now. I've been testing it. I wanted to know for sure, before we went out to the public with it,
testing
that it was
on his children.
Yeah, my kids wouldn't be turning blue. Right. Or something. Yeah. I had to test it on the kids. Yeah, people would know. Yeah. I was serious about it, and I'm really excited about getting this guy off just burgers and bench presses.
Yeah, that's very kind of you, Joe. Just if you could follow me for half a second here. I brought this from my home.
Wife.
My wife made homemade granola from maple syrup right here in Pittsfield, and nuts and almonds and grains.
Sea salt I harvested.
A little sea salt in there.
I've eaten half of it. I love it.
But I do like a good burger and even a beer now and then. Shock of shocks.
What do you think about Reno?
I thought it was great. And you know what was really great about it, too, is he talked about that this wasn't an overnight thing at all. He talked about having worked hard at other jobs, and then one day when they started eating this food themselves, kind of like you said, experimenting on the family, he said it impacted them so much, he said, we got to run with this. We got to make this available to other people. So I thought you could really tell the passion came through, that he really believed in it. I'm gonna admit, it's funny, you're teasing Colonel Nye about his diet. I guarantee his diet is better than my diet right now. I used to eat great and was in terrific shape, and I would say that right now I've actually been eating very poorly, and I'm excited about this. These podcasts are good for us too. It's like, you know, I watch these and I think, man, I know that. Why aren't I doing that? I'm excited about coming to your cupboard after this and raiding it, taking all of your kids' Boku, and they'll have to start from scratch tomorrow. No, but very seriously, like, Reno was a great spokesman, where, you know, some people you feel like they're trying to sell you something. He wasn't trying to sell us anything. He was just sharing his story. And I'm honestly going to race out and get some Boku superfood because I want to get back to that feeling of vitality.
Okay. I invite you to forge some of your own. You know what I mean? And also,
so I'm going to forge Joe's.
Oh, you forge Joe's. Exactly. We're going to go forge you the tennis.
They make it easy these days.
No, I mean, okay, the thing I love about Boku is his motto is your planet, your health, your superfood. And what I love what he said is he says, like, I'm starting a business, but it's for the greater good. Then the money comes. And I think when it's something like health and nutrition, something that we're so far off kilter from, like, just, I mean, wild foods and wild edibles, is foreign as it seems in our modern culture, is the most nutrient dense, most beneficial, most delicious foods are out there. So superfoods is kind of a broad term. He's got the medicinal mushrooms in there. Mushrooms are amazing. I'll use a lot of big words, but mushrooms are great. Micro-remediation, great for your body. All these, like, golden berries, I mean, all these amazing berries that are just out in the forest and are not being protected and need to be harvested and cultivated responsibly. This guy's doing it. He's bringing it to the public in a way, to all these racers that can really get really great nutrition. And, I mean, that's your fuel, your shelter, your everything is right here in your body, you know? So zone zero.
We've referenced Rainy Pittsfield. Would there be moral mushrooms and good things out there?
Oh, this is glory be the day. Can't wait to go to the forest, because this is when all the fiddleheads are coming up. We got ramps coming out right now. I mean, right now, from a forager perspective, I mean, basswood leaves, there's leaves of trees, black locust flowers. I mean, Vermont doesn't have so many black locust trees, but right now is just the glory days of foraging, but all times are in the air.
So I'm feeling very lucky. I have a friend and podmate who can take me out and teach me how to forage, and I'm actually serious about that. I'm going to make you take me out in these woods and find you some food.
When we go, but the great Colonel thing about, and I are going to go for lunch at the general store. You guys are going to go in the woods. later, we'll see who's hungry.
But it is interesting. Getting back to Boku, we do live in a society where most people aren't going to go out and do that as much as we'll encourage them to. It's phenomenal that they have other options, that it isn't just pizza and Pop-Tarts, you know, that in fact there are people making the next best thing to go out and foraging.
But Joe, I have something to say about that. Oftentimes, if you eat a plate of foraged food, and I get that not everyone lives in a place where that's possible.
Define foraged, actually, just because there will be some people who don't know what I mean.
Okay, so forage is when you are lucky enough to be in your pristine wilderness or forested woods, and you are 100% sure that you're identifying the plants properly and not eating the poisonous plants. And a forager's credo is right time, right place, right plant. So even though something's edible certain times of the year, other times of the year it's not. So there's a lot of things that you need to know. But what it is it's going out to the wilds and sustainably and responsibly harvesting it. Like when you take ramps or ginseng takes 10 years to mature. Ramps, you don't take the roots out or it doesn't grow back the next year. There's a lot to know. There's a lot of mentoring that needs to happen. But, you know, most of the weeds that you'll pick up out of your garden, the purslanes, the lamb's quarters, those are free spinach and super mineral rich. And there's a thought that the herbs and the plants that you need grow where you need them. So oftentimes all those weeds you're taking out of your garden are the best foods you're growing. So I don't know if that helps the answer.
No, I mean, that's the short version. I get it.
There's communities and people that are into it wherever you are. So just look up foragers.
One thing I learned here on the farm, sorry, keep that thought for a second, was that when we didn't properly work the soil, in other words, didn't have all the proper nutrients in it, that the plants didn't grow as quickly. And so quickly you start to learn, wow, all that process. I mean, we're plants, right? Yeah. In this analogy, and the processed foods, the stuff coming right out of the boxes in your kitchen, are not the same.
Farmers are ultimately soil growers, right? That's what they always say, because when you have epic soil, then you can grow, you know, you create the ecology, just like what Spartan does, right? It creates the ecology, it creates the soil to have the pioneer species, have people come in, start it, love it, get it. And then it goes into succession, like a forest grows up, the shrubs become trees, and all these people come back and are able to build that ecology of resiliency, or, you know, Sparta.
All I was going to say is, you know, if you're looking for a job, and I was Boku
Boku
Superfoods, I might be wanting to talk to you.
If only we knew her last. If only we knew her last name, so we could help them get a hold of Sephra Lavouge.
Oh, no, he's a lovely person, and
Sephra
I love what Lavouge. He's doing.
I will introduce.
So
you.
I'm at Lavouge at Foraging Wild.
Hopefully, you'll find her with her helicopter flying boyfriend.
Thank you, Johnny.
In the wilds,
as long as he's a forager and can harvest.
So where should people come?
To find show notes, video, and audio from this episode, please come visit us at SpartanUpPodcast.com/085.
Thank you for listening to another epic story of success. Follow us on Twitter at SpartanUpPod.
Special thanks to our podcast sponsor, FreshBooks. To claim a free month of service, go to FreshBooks.com/Spartan and enter Spartan in the How Did You Hear About Us section.
The Spartan Up Podcast is brought to you by Spartan.
To find a race near you, visit Spartan.com.